Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 49 degrees and misting. Today's Tuesday, June 19th, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. Another candidate has submitted a letter of interest to fill an upcoming assembly vacancy. Matt Hunter, a lifelong Sitka resident who teaches math at Mount Edgecombe High School, turned in his application to the municipal clerk's office yesterday. Hunter joins former Assembly members Jack Osment and Bill Payden and former Assembly candidate Michelle Putz in seeking the seat being vacated by Terry Blake. Blake will step down at the conclusion of old business during the Assembly's next regular meeting on Tuesday, June 26th. Hunter is 29 years old with no previous experience in elected office. Besides teaching math, he also teaches physics and private pilot ground school. Hunter has been a member with Sitka EMS at the Fire Hall for the last 3 years. He's been a member of Sitka Mountain Rescue since 2007. Terry Blake's replacement will be appointed by the Assembly and serve only through this October's municipal elections. Voters would then select a candidate to serve the 1 year remaining in Blake's term. Hunter says he sees the interim appointment as an opportunity to learn if he likes working with municipal government. He says he's definitely considering running for the seat in October. The deadline to apply for the seat is noon tomorrow. An orange pickup truck ended up on a resident's front lawn over the weekend. According to Sitka police, the truck driven by 30-year-old resident Jesse Bloomer swerved out of control around 7:20 p.m. Saturday and slid through hedges and a fence onto the front lawn. The truck moved with such force that it lost two tires, said Sitka Police Lieutenant Barry Allen.
Witnesses reported that he had lost control of the vehicle and went into the yard, the front yard of 612 Lake Street, and he was trying to start the vehicle to move it, but the tires were off the rims.
Bloomer was not supposed to be driving, Allen said.
He's never had a driver's license as far as we know.
Bloomer was arrested on charges of driving under the influence, reckless driving, and lacking a valid license. He's being held on $1,000 bail. The house's residents, meanwhile, decided to use the incident as a teaching moment. They hung a sign on the broken truck that read, "Don't drive drunk." State officials got an earful from property owners in Baranoff Warm Springs who are against a proposed hatchery near the town. Baranoff Warm Springs is technically part of the city of Sitka. It's a collection of 50 or so lots on eastern Baranoff Island. Juneau resident Dale Young, who also owns property in Warm Springs, wants to raise 3 million salmon there. His original plans had part of the hatchery built in town. But after residents objected, Young moved the project to the back of a lagoon across the bay.
My opinion is that if this facility gets built, it's the beginning of a valuable research and enhancement tool that will be able to be used far into the future in ways that we probably can't even anticipate right now.
At a hearing in Sitka on Saturday, residents maintain their belief that the hatchery would spoil the wilderness feel of the community. They also say they're concerned about the amount of water the hatchery will draw from the Baranoff River. Mike Trotter is president of the Baranoff Warm Springs Property Owners Association. He also owns and operates Baranoff Wilderness Lodge. He said opening the lodge was his dream come true, and he acknowledged that Young probably has the same feelings toward his hatchery.
The difference is my dream is here in granite already. This man's dream is still on paper. Paper filled with some illusions and deceit that if permitted will tear the heart and soul out of everybody in the Baranoff community.
Residents had a few specific concerns about the hatchery. They said the water it plans to take from the nearby river would be too much. Young plans to take 20 cubic feet per second, or CFS. Although the annual mean flow of the river is 418 CFS, residents say the flow varies greatly throughout the year. They also had concerns about the lights, noise, and equipment that might come along with the project. And they said the net pens the hatchery proposes would be located in a popular anchorage. Again, Dale Young.
I think that everyone's sitting here with probably a vision of their worst industrial complex vision in their mind, and I don't think that's what this is going to look like at all when it's done.
There is no timeline for a decision on the hatchery. Fish and Game will take comments until July 2nd. You can find contact information on our website, kcaw.org. A $350,000 grant to Alaska Arts Southeast, which runs the Sitka Fine Arts Camp, will help the organization continue to restore the campus it inherited a year and a half ago. It's part of a national program called Art Place. The Chicago-based group is funded by a dozen or so of the nation's largest private foundations. It sends money to groups it feels are not only developing a particular project, but are also improving their overall community. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more on the arts and economic development.
I heard the old man say, John.
Inside the Yaw Art Center, behind a door marked music, Andrea Burke is teaching a group of elementary age students to drum and sing. Some of the students are fidgety, and so keeping them in sync is a challenge.
Now, are we all doing the same beat, or are some people going faster or slower?
Faster!
Yeah, so we want to keep...
This mini camp with elementary students is followed by 2 weeks with middle schoolers and then another 2 weeks with high schoolers. More than 700 students will set foot on the Sheldon Jackson campus this summer, and most of them will pass through Yaw. One of the hopes for the Art Place grant is that when the summer is over, these hallways will still have people in them.
If we have more space that we can use during the year, then we can have more activities.
Roger Schmidt is executive director of Alaska Arts Southeast.
This grant was a natural fit to start bringing another building online, and that's the Yaw Arts Center, a place where there can be studio space, there can be classroom space, there can be gallery space, and that it can be a vibrant arts center for our community.
Schmidt says creating that environment where people are able to practice something that matters to them or are attracted to town because they can improves the community's quality of life. And more, quality of life translates to economic development.
The arts are something that, as a community, as an economic force, we haven't talked a lot about. I think, quietly, it's been a huge force. Just alone in this year, this campus, we've put $500,000 of cash that's going directly into paying contractors and workers to do restoration work. That money is generated by the heart, by the passion that the arts create in people.
Ask Tor Christensen. The Sitka Assembly member was on the organization's board before he was elected to office, and in the 1970s, he was a camper here.
I was okay at the trumpet for a while there. I started to get good, and then I drifted away from it. But at theater, I think I held my own.
On this day, he's standing next to Allen Auditorium, taking a break from the CPR class he's teaching to the camp staff. As a former camper and a former board member, Christensen says he's just happy that something he enjoyed is still around so that he can share it with his kids. But as an assembly member, he asks a different set of questions.
What's the return on investment? How much money and, I guess, non-tangibles does it bring to the city for how much we put into it?
The city exempts most of the campus from property tax. That's required by state law for educational institutions. And it granted an exemption for the Hames Center under the city's community purpose rule.
And I suspect we get more than that back just in the sales tax revenue generated by the economic activity here.
Sheldon Jackson College was a private institution, but the city took a keen interest in its fate when it shut down in 2007. City leaders discussed options for the campus. They took over management of the college's fitness center, and they even helped court officials from the University of Dubuque in Iowa, which was considering taking over part of the campus. The Dubuque deal fell through, and when the campus was donated to the Fine Arts Camp, it became up to the organization and members of the community to make the 20 buildings usable again.
And it was interesting to watch on the assembly when this was first starting. There was a lot of skepticism. And now you can't help but look over here and say, it's happened, it's happening. And the amount of community support makes this a much easier from the city standpoint to support. Not to mention the fact you're not asking for any money from us. So it's a win-win for the city.
The journey this campus has taken in the last 2 years, and the journey it's still taking, is a lot like that music class we visited. A bunch of people got together, they found a certain rhythm, and in a way, they learned to sing the same song. As the campus develops, its supporters hope the tune is catchy. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
The skipper of a salmon troller that ran aground 2 weeks ago is facing a single misdemeanor charge of reckless endangerment in Sitka court. Charges of boating under the influence are pending in a separate investigation with the Coast Guard. William Walder put the 42-foot Yankee on the rocks near Error Island in Sitka's Eastern Channel on June 6th. The incident was reported to authorities via text by a female passenger. Police dispatch reports at the time stated that Walder was belligerent and possibly intoxicated, according to Chief Warrant Officer John Grez with the Marine Safety Detachment. Walder is the subject of an ongoing Coast Guard investigation separate from the local police investigation. Walder was arraigned in Sitka on June 12th. He pled not guilty to the charge and was released on a $750 appearance bond. His next hearing is scheduled for 1:15 today. According to police records, Walder's passenger told police that he was knocked out after the Yankee ran aground. Walder later told officers that he was cutting halibut cheeks when the vessel struck. Some of the opposition to a proposed basketball arena in Seattle is coming from industrial and labor interests at the Port of Seattle, who worry it would cause too much interference with waterfront traffic. They'll have their say today at a meeting of the King County Council Transportation Committee. Investor Chris Hansen is working on a deal with the county and city of Seattle for an arena near the Mariners and Seahawks stadiums that would host NBA and NHL franchises. Zone weather forecast today for Sitka and Port Alexander calls for cloudy skies, patchy fog in the morning, isolated showers this afternoon, highs 55 to 61 with light winds. Tomorrow, cloudy, scattered showers, highs around 53. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka.